evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Hoopers Podcast. I am your host, president of the Hoopers, headband warrior, Ben Roberts. My guest today, a man who goes by many names, Joey.
That's the Christian one.
Joe Boy. Matt is a big fan of, isn't he? It's Joseph Jacob Kavanagh. James Kavanagh. Where am I getting Jacob from?
I don't know. I look biblical.
I suppose, yeah. Well, Joseph is biblical, right?
Yeah, he was, well...
Do you know much about Joseph from the...
The father of God. And he screwed up his Christmas plans.
Joseph was the father of God. Oh, Joseph, right, that Mary, Joseph. Right? Yeah.
Well, who was the other Joseph?
Joseph Disciple. And the Technicolor Dreamcoat. He was in the... That's a biblical story. He was the grandson, the great-grandson of Abraham.
And he had a Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah, well, not... His dad bought him a... His dad, who was Jacob, bought him a Technicolor Dreamcoat, which made his brothers envy. He had 11 brothers. And they were furious, obviously, because they were like, well, we're here in rags. This guy gets a Technicolored Dreamcoat. Mm. And colors back in the day would have been, you know, a big...
Well, the ladies were after colors. Yeah.
So, you know, the brothers were just furious. And they thought, you know, what better revenge than death? So they tried to kill him and threw him in a well. And then some Ishmaelites came. You know what Ishmaelites are?
I've heard of them.
I don't know what they are.
No.
I was hoping you would.
They sound too much like Israelites, but then...
I'm sure they are some agglomeration of...
Ishmaelites?
Yeah, from Ishmael.
There was a guy called Ishmael, yeah.
It was a tough time for the Middle East. You know, there's a lot of moving parts.
I feel like I should have brushed up on my Old Testament before we began.
That's what I'm here for, to tell you the story of Joseph.
So they threw him down a well.
Well, they threw him down a well and they were going to kill him. And then some Ishmaelites came, some rich Ishmaelites. And they're like, oh, we'll buy him. As a slave.
Oh.
And then they were like, hey, this, you know, we get rid of him and make some money. Maybe we don't have to kill him. Perfect. Then they go back to the dad. They rip up the dream coat, smear some sheep's blood over it. And they're like, dad, bad news. That's that other son, dead. And really, he's been sold.
He's only been sold into slavery.
He was sold to Potiphar, the Egyptian.
Are you making this up?
No, this is real. He was sold to Potiphar, who was like an Egyptian, you know, knew how to play the economy game. He wasn't a pharaoh, but he was a...
So what lesson are we supposed to draw from that? Because you could interpret that in a bunch of ways, I guess.
Well... That's a good point. I guess from that part, that's only act one.
Okay.
So this is the story continues. Would you like to hear the rest of it?
How long have we got?
Okay, quickly. So he's sold to Potiphar, and he becomes like the best servant of Potiphar. Mm. Potiphar's wife makes a pass at Joseph, which makes Potiphar furious, and he has Joseph thrown in jail.
Of course.
Where he meets the old butler of the pharaoh. And Joseph, I should have mentioned this at the start, Joseph's great at interpreting dreams. People come to him like, oh, I had a terrible dream. I was like, I fell down. And he's like, oh, bad news, you're going to die.
Mm.
Or whatever. And they always turn out to be true. So then he says to the butler, like the butler says his dream. And then Joseph says, hey, good news. Like the pharaoh's going to let you out soon and you'll be his butler again. So, you know, good luck with that.
This is act two.
This is, yeah.
We're still out.
This is right before halftime, I think. This was the cliffhanger of like, hey, there's hope left.
Okay.
For Joseph. And then that's when they
say... What's the latest with his coat? It got ripped up and smeared in sheep's blood.
Yeah.
All right, I thought the coat would last longer in this story.
Unfortunately. Mm. Well, that's a good point.
Thought it'd be more central.
Anyway, because then, one day, when the butler does eventually get out of prison, he's butling for the pharaoh.
Mm.
And the pharaoh says to the butler, you know, I had the worst dream last night. But then the butler's like, I know this bloke, he's in prison, great at dreams.
Mm.
He'll tell you exactly what it means. Anyway, pharaoh does this whole 12-minute song about what he saw in his dream and stuff. And then Joseph says, well, you know, good thing you rang me when you did, because that means there's going to be a famine in Egypt.
Ah.
And you're going to need to prepare a lot of crops for this, for all these years of famine. So then the Pharaoh's very impressed. He's like, okay, so I need someone to deal with this famine, and that can be you, Joseph. So Joseph's out of prison now, and he's a big Pharaoh guy. Unfortunately, back in Canaan, Joseph's brothers have fallen on tough times, and they're hungry. So they go to the Pharaoh to beg for food. And then they get put in front of Joseph, and they don't recognize him.
Ah.
And they beg for food, and Joseph kind of plays this game of like, oh, why should I give you food? You know, he's like toying with them. And then he tries to put a golden cup in one of their bags to frame them for stealing from him.
But he's a powerful guy now. He could just say to the Pharaoh, screw those guys.
Yeah, he could. Yeah.
He wants to.
He's just toying with
them. Yeah, he wants to play around with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he plants a cup in Benjamin's bag. Benjamin is the youngest brother.
Okay, so we literally have a story about Joseph and Benjamin falling out and putting each other into slavery.
Yeah. But then, so he accuses Benjamin. He says, right, you little shit. You've stolen my cup. And then the brothers all selflessly gather around and they say, no, he would never do this. It must be a mistake. Take me instead. Punish me.
Uh-huh.
And Joseph then realized that his brothers had become honest men.
And he forgave them.
And he said, hey, remember when you tried to kill me all those years ago? That's me. And then they were all like happy to see him and stuff.
Yeah. I'd imagine though, that the relationships have probably been dented permanently. Doubt you're going to bounce back from that.
You would think, but I mean, I think sibling rivalries are difficult, aren't they?
They are.
If you have some things are irreparable.
Yeah, I mean,
irreparable.
Yeah, no, I'd put slavery up there. I think if we have to draw a line
sold
somewhere,
into slavery,
I'd say it's near the line.
But you get in America, don't you? You get all of these people who get stand up in court and stuff when there's a murderer who's murdered their son, and they're like, "Oh, I forgive you."
They're always impressive.
You think they're lying?
Well, look, no one's getting called a liar.
I don't
know. All I'd say about that is I think that's always the most impressive to me. Because I think the easiest impulse would be, I'm going to kill you, blah, blah, blah.
But aren't they just kind of saying words?
Well, who knows? Yeah.
I'd imagine.
I mean, you'd have to take that, you know, murder victim and grill them and, you know, to really
that's what
the
interrogations
truth.
Are for.
Yeah.
Oh, victim.
Well,
victim.
You know, the family of the victim.
The family of the
probably
victim.
Probably gone through enough already.
Yeah, I don't want to bother them. If they feel like they've forgiven... I think you've got to let go, haven't you? Joseph can't just harbour those...
Do you think you could forgive?
I don't really hold a grudge much.
Yeah.
But it's like if someone wrongs me in the most ridiculous way, it's kind of like, well, I mean, I don't like... I don't harbor any ill will towards you, but we're probably not going to be friends again because friendship is kind of based on the idea that someone won't do those things to you.
Yes.
So once that line has been crossed, it's kind of hard to then just pretend like, oh yeah, this guy... Because friendship is based on loyalty, I think.
So say, for example, our housemate Sam took your favorite mug, your Twin Peaks mug.
Yeah.
Engaged in some kind of weird sexual game with it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, left it and it wasn't cleaned. But then, you know, months later, apologized, but with a kind of look in his eye that said, yeah, I don't really care.
Yeah. I mean, he'd got one over on me.
Yeah.
It's tough. I think I would have to just base that on, you know, context being, I feel like I am indebted to Sam a little bit because I've moved to London. Like, he kind of dragged me to London.
Yeah.
So I'm still kind of tiptoeing around the whole Sam keeps stealing my mugs thing. Because if I kick up a fuss about it, and then he's like, right, I don't need to live here anymore.
But good thing, I mean, he's not the mayor, though, you know, so he...
Yeah, but he is my link.
He is your link, I suppose.
To all... We've known each other for like 2 months, like that, month and a half.
Properly, yeah. 6 weeks.
We've been living together for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Going good?
No complaints from my end, I have to say.
No,
yeah. I've never done a podcast before, so, you know, you're already already in the black.
Yeah. So this is, we'll use this to get to know each other a bit more.
Yeah.
We'll, you know, beyond the 6 weeks bit. You know, there must be so much.
Really, really a deep dive.
Do you have a favourite colour?
Well, you can't really say black or white, can you?
No, those are shades.
I suppose green is it's a natural colour, isn't it? Leaves.
Yeah, yeah.
Volvo.
I quite like olive.
Of all the greens, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a darker, kind of muddier green. I like kind of earthly autumn colours.
Yeah.
So like I don't like colours that are too vibrant.
Well, you don't want anything that's, you know, attention seeking.
Yeah. I'm just a very conservative fellow. I like to just, you know, stay in the back, blend in with the trees. No, I do. I like olive. Yeah, yeah. Okay, good. We're getting to know each other.
Yeah, no, I think we've done well.
Yeah. And I think it's a good house setup we've got here.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the four fellas, as we refer to
the Broadie boys.
Yeah, we're doing well. Yeah. So I think I'll be in London for a while. Are you going to stay in London for a while?
You never know, really. See what happens.
Yeah. Just come back from Thailand, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. I think it would be indulgent to go anywhere soon.
But is that whet your appetite, or is it you feel like you've had your fill now?
No, I think travel's like a thing you want to do regularly. I think at least once a year you want to go somewhere less developed than your own country.
Why less developed?
I don't know. I think it makes it stops you from getting complacent and, you know, too content.
Yeah.
No,
always
wait.
A good thing. No one likes to be too happy.
Well, yeah. You,
it's good to knock you down lazy, a peg or two.
Yeah, exactly. You want to be like, you want to be uncomfortable every now and then, I think.
Yeah. I guess in life, getting too deep now. In life, you're looking for comfort, aren't you? That's kind of the end goal.
Yeah, that's
of what, like, you know.
What is it with the hierarchy of needs? We all want shelter, food,
yeah,
warmth.
And you decorate your room because it in a way that makes you feel comfortable, and you wear clothes that you feel comfortable in.
I have to say, I liked your feng shui, the way you arranged my room.
Oh, did you?
I've kept it up, yeah.
Oh, have you? You've kept the...
Because before I had the bed, I think I'm right in saying the pillow was in the corner. So as you wake up, if you were to roll your head back, you would be looking out the window.
That's right, yeah.
Whereas you flipped it 90 degrees.
Yeah.
So that if you were just to roll to your side, you'd be greeted by all that light.
That's right, yeah. So you get the choice. You can just roll away from it if you're not quite ready in the morning.
Exactly. And you can just roll to your left and then it's dark again. Or roll to your right and embrace the day. It's great. It's a very simple system.
I'm not sure about... What do you think about what I've done to this room? Because I'm not sure about it still.
Well, I think you got a lot of dead space there.
Yeah, that is the problem.
But that's an awkward shaped...
Yeah, exactly. It's an awkward... Because you can't fit anything in that little corner there.
What about if you were to stick that wardrobe in there?
I don't think...
It won't fit.
No, it won't fit.
As your DIY? Could you modify it?
No.
Yeah, that would go wrong.
No, it's tough. I don't know.
You got that bay window.
There's a lot of dead space here as well. I feel like if I put a rug here, then that'd solve some of it. And maybe a plant there.
Do the listeners know the layout of this room?
No, it's kind of hard to explain layouts of rooms.
It's tricky.
The thing is that I'm just too lazy to do anything with my room.
Yeah. We talk absentmindedly about it. You know, there were plans in the summer to get like a hammock for the garden, and none of it happened. It was
just because I'm, you know, when I get home from work and stuff, I don't want to be like, it feels like working on my room is work.
Right.
And like buying stuff and making sure I have the right plant pots or whatever. I feel like I'm just giving myself some extra work that I don't want. I feel like my life, I'm trying to center my life around working less.
It never ends, does it? If you buy one plant, you might want a pot. If you want a pot, you might want a shelf. If you want a shelf, you might want a thing for your shoes.
I have bought this laundry basket. I bought it on eBay for £3.
Yeah, that's tidy, that.
It slides out.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want.
So I was thinking I could put a plant pot on that. And then I need another shoe rack, really. Because I could just put them on that. But that shoe rack is kind of full.
There you go. So we're learning. We've got a shared passion for interior design. You've learned that.
Well, it's things you've got to think about, isn't it? Feng shui.
Yeah.
Mindfulness. Is it? Because Jordan Peterson's always on about, isn't he? The first
tidy
step.
Your room.
Yeah, the first step to having a clear mind is a clear room.
Yeah. I think there's something in that, I guess.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, I do tire of JP though. I think.
Yeah.
think he had a couple of interesting things to say about a couple of political issues.
I just can't deal with the voice. The voice is so...
Yeah. And he has that irritating verbal tic of ending every sentence with right as a question.
Yeah.
And there's lots of like public people that do that. And once you've kind of spotted it, I find it really hard to listen to him now.
Yeah.
There was another one. It was the Joe Rogan podcast, Johan Hari, the journalist. And
I don't remember that.
Ends... Yeah, give it a listen. Any segment of the podcast that he's talking the whole time,
yeah,
he ends every sentence with right, and it's you just can't, you can't listen to it.
Yeah, I don't like listening to everyone who comes on Joe Rogan. I feel like these days is a bit of a tryhard,
right?
Like they're trying to prove something to Joe Rogan. They're trying to like say the most interesting thing about society.
Yeah,
whereas it's because a lot of them he's getting on are like just YouTube influencers who just generally talk about the news or whatever. So it's like they don't really have anything to say. Most of these people who are like online news organizations or analyze the news, they don't really have an overriding point beyond like, hey, we should be kind to each other and freedom of speech and stuff. Which is generally true, but you know, once you've made the point about freedom of speech, it's kind of...
So if you were a guest on Joe Rogan, you'd be like so aware of, because he does it live, firstly,
yeah,
which is terrifying, and then also he gets like tens of millions of downloads. It's,
yeah,
I mean that is the equivalent of going on like a huge podium, outside the White House with crowds outside. I think it's, and it began as just like a chat with people he wanted to speak to
about like the moon landing.
And the conspiracy theories. And
do you believe we landed on the moon?
Well, I just haven't looked into it. So many people agreed that we did.
Yeah.
You know, like NASA and all the media and everything. I don't have time to check into it.
It'd be such an elaborate thing to hoax. But, I mean, I'm trying to think of hoaxes like that in the past. There haven't really been any that weren't, like, false flags for wars.
Ones that were successfully shown to be hoaxes.
Ones that were just like, hey, look how great we are. Which is basically what that the conspiracy is alleging. That they just did it to be like, ha, f*** you, Russia.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other.
The one thing I'd find about it is like it was so long ago. It's and they haven't done it since. And maybe that's just because it's ruinously expensive and it has no real value other than the symbolic one.
Yes, but it must have... Maybe now that we can send... drones and what do they call those little...
Oh, the like the rover one.
Yeah.
It died recently.
Now that we can send those, maybe we just don't need to.
That's probably
a far more cost-effective way of doing it.
Yeah.
But I would like to go into... Are you going to be on this...
Elon Musk one?
Yeah.
I think it'll be at my price range. It's going to be like six figures, isn't it?
You would imagine, yeah. But then do people who are making six figures want to... change planets, because life's going pretty well for them, you would think.
right,
like they're rolling the dice massively there.
Oh wait, no, so there's a one-way one, right, where they go and then they don't come back.
Yeah.
You're not gonna get successful people on that.
Yeah. How I reckon you... that's for me and you people. People who wanna, because that's a chance of rolling the dice. That's like, right, Earth has been to me,
yeah,
let's see what else.
It would have to be going worse than it is now, like they'd have to be a dramatic downturn
for in your life
for me to consider going. Yeah, because right now it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think I'm content at the moment, but also just that there's something so exciting about like finding a new... It's like all those people who left to go to America in the 1800s, the Western
Frontier times
expansion on the horses and stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of wish I was one of those people.
I've got my life so easy.
Planting your flag in a hill.
There'd be no one on Hinge.
No, that's true.
You'd be sick of everyone by the time you got there.
Yeah, but wouldn't... but back in the day, they didn't really... people didn't really talk to each other, did they?
Yeah,
they did.
Because they had so much more time to kill.
But are they busy like farming and stuff? Or do they have communities? I think they must have probably had communities. They have like town halls.
Just backbreaking work followed by just...
Church.
Yeah, church.
Sounds good to me. Because I think life would have a sense of purpose then.
Do you think it lacks purpose?
If we were all... Yeah. I feel like we're all kind of... my life especially does. Every time I'm at work, I'm thinking to myself like, what is the point? Why? Yeah, but it's... because I feel like so few people do work that they would. Because one of the questions I ask on my government survey, I do surveys for the government, for those who don't know. And one of the questions I ask is, to what extent do you think the things you do in life are worthwhile? No one ever rates that highly. Because no one's doing anything worthwhile.
It seems boastful almost, doesn't it, to say that? It depends what you mean by worthwhile, I guess. I mean, who could really say they're saving the world?
I guess
doctors, like, soldiers.
Yeah. But even doctors, they would say that they're doing, like, menial stuff.
Right.
Radiographers, for example, what do you think they think of there?
Which one's the radiographer?
The x-rays.
Oh, them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe every now and then they remind themselves that they're doing great stuff.
It's tough to find something that you're... that you care about. That's why I struggled to... Because I struggled to find a job for years. Because I just had no idea what... Like, people kept asking me, like, what do you want to do with your life?
I'm
like,
yeah.
How am I supposed to know that?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of... I think it's rare to know what you want to do super young.
But you were drawn to journalism, were you?
I guess so. Yeah, I was, actually. Because I did the student paper at uni.
Mm.
Found I really enjoyed that. And then I read some articles. I think it was a comedian wrote in an interview... what you often end up doing at uni kind of defines what you do for the rest of your life. If you, and I thought, it's not that healthy.
Yeah.
Daytime TV and drinking.
I watched a lot of Countdown in uni.
Yeah.
Every day.
There was a phase when I got really into Dale's Supermarket Dash.
Uh huh.
I thought that was one of the best shows ever.
Great shows.
Great presenter. Yeah. Great thing.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. I followed that interest really. I almost became a lawyer. I'm glad I didn't.
Really? I almost became a lawyer. I mean, I've thought about it a lot over the years.
Yeah.
I did the master's in law and stuff, so I thought maybe I'd become a...
I thought it was criminology you did.
Criminology and law.
Oh, I see.
It was a joint subject. Yeah, it's... Yeah, because I thought I wanted to be a journalist, but then I think I just said it when I was like 12, and then I was just saying it because I had nothing else to say.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I remember when I watched All the President's Men for the first time, I was like, oh yeah, this is me. You know.
It has a very cool
bringing down
public
Thatcher.
Image. Yeah.
But I don't think that's what journalism is.
Well, I don't know. I went to an event, it was a birthday from the birthday of a guy I got to know on my master's in journalism. He works at the BBC, and I sold out, went into financial journalism.
Yeah.
And... but there are a couple of guys there that did investigations for Greenpeace and exposing sort of the lobbying that takes place behind the scenes. And that's kind of like one of the biggest issues of our time. I thought that was incredibly worthy.
Yeah.
And then...
I guess they would think that what they're doing is worthwhile.
Sorry, they don't claim it. They don't say it, but I remember just thinking, wow, that's really cool. You know, that's...
Yeah. How many journalists do you think are doing stuff that they regard as worthwhile?
Exactly.
What percentage?
Well, obviously media is changing, but take like a newspaper. That's an easy way to think about it. And think about like at the front, you've got the politics and the news, some of which is what you could say public interest is. And then you've got business as well. But a lot of it is like sport, features, cooking, what's on TV that night.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And I don't feel like, because journalism to some extent has got to be what the people want to read about, right?
Yeah, that's what sells.
Like, the journalism always has this tug of war between what sells, which unfortunately is like the Kardashians and stuff, versus like what the journalists think is like integrity pieces.
Yeah.
Because every journalist, I feel like, just wants to find like something that they're passionate about and then report on that forever.
That's the ideal. Yeah. Finding a niche that you really find interesting,
which is what you've done. You're passionate about like derivatives and the housing bubble.
I just find money quite interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
If I could stick in that field, I'd be happy.
There's another housing bubble coming is what someone told me the other day.
Thought the first one hadn't popped yet. It was going to get even worse, is it?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh.
So okay. Look out for that, folks. And what does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, it's
a housing bubble.
Well, bubbles pop. So it's like if you say the term bubble, you're saying assets are overvalued and there's going to be some kind of artificially too high compared to the fundamentals.
Right.
So But I think, I don't know, people have been saying that about London property prices for ages.
Yeah.
They just keep going up and up.
London they're stalling at the moment. Prices are crazy.
It's just mental.
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Because when I go to these houses, sometimes I have to look them up on Zoopla. Like, if no one's answering, I look them up on Zoopla to see if they're for sale. Yeah. The prices for, like, these tiny little houses.
In shit areas.
Yeah. Where you're thinking, like, this is a shit house, no doubt about it. Like, you're going to have a miserable time living here.
Yeah.
And then you look online, it's like 2 million.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what?
It's insulting. Yeah. But so this one, the one we're sat in, probably like north of 600,000, I'd guess.
Yeah, it got valued the other day.
Did it?
Yeah.
Ah, what did they say?
They said, yeah, like between 6 and 750.
Dear God.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I like this place, but it's
not.
It's not that great.
Definitely not that.
It's okay.
But I mean, it's the aren't we? We're kind of paying the price for wanting to live in London, right? Because like, if we don't like it, we can just hightail it out of here.
We could.
But our being here is our tacit approval of the prices.
Makes hypocrites of us all. Well, a lot of graduates now go to Manchester, apparently. Because there's lots of jobs there and interesting stuff.
I just don't like the voices in Manchester. I find northern accents very grating.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
And like, they sound dumb. Like obviously Essex accents don't sound intelligent. It's hard to find an accent that sounds intelligent, to be fair. I'm being harsh. Like, if someone has a strong accent, chances are they're going to sound a bit...
I always think Germans sound really clever. Well, it's just someone who's learned your language.
Yeah.
And has got an accent and is speaking it well.
But the thing with the Germans, of course, is that they started two massive...
I knew you were going to say that.
Two massive wars.
Yeah,
but it's just you've always got to remember that about
Germany,
haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they can't be that clever. Or maybe they are that clever. That
well, they're
they,
smashing it now.
They thought, we are so much cleverer than all these other guys that we can go to war against the world.
Do you have a lot of German listeners?
Twice. We have some German listeners. Yeah. We get some listens in Germany.
Are their comments intelligent? Or?
They don't comment.
They don't comment, yeah.
They're smart. Clever enough to know not to comment. No, I don't know who's listening. We just have a little map that says like which countries.
Oh,
and it says like 5 downloads or whatever. Get some in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Big there.
Nice.
Yeah, really going viral over there. But I'm trying to, when I meet a German, not think about the unpleasantness.
Yeah.
Which
it's hard,
is difficult,
though, isn't it?
Yeah. Because there was so much unpleasantness.
Twice.
Allegedly. Well, were they that unpleasant in the first one? Or were they just on a different side to us?
Yeah. I mean, they're two different conflicts. I mean,
the second conflict, I think, is where they've really lost their lost their way a little bit.
The optics are bad on that one.
Yeah. And it hasn't reflected kindly on them, all that stuff they did to the Jews. Because the Jews are the your pals in the financial world, right?
Wow. It's a tricky one, isn't it? This.
But you must know whether it's to what extent the stereotype is true that Jewish people are controlling the world's money.
Almost entirely untrue.
It's untrue.
There was a really, you know, The Onion. There was a really good article I saw. It was, you know, they just show you the headlines and the pictures. Pictures was just like a normal 30-something guy looking kind of puzzled at his kitchen table. And the headline was, what was it? It was like a Jewish man can't wait to be invited into the secret cabal that controls everything. You know, it's, nice. No,
if there is a secret Illuminati-type Jewish thing out there.
They're keeping it very, very quiet.
Yeah, but also I would just like to say that I would love to be invited as well.
This is your pitch.
Yeah, because I need money desperately.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Illuminati must know how to get me some.
Yeah.
So just letting you know, I will sell out in any way I possibly can.
Yeah, it's like all conspiracy theories, isn't it? It just makes the people who think them feel like they know stuff.
Do you believe in any conspiracies?
What are the classics?
Is there anything that you don't accept the... I'll just reel off some quick fire ones.
Yeah, hit me. I'll do yes, no.
Okay, do me on a scale of 0 to 10. How likely is it?
Okay.
10 is big old conspiracy cover-up.
Yeah.
Okay. JFK.
Oh, I don't know, actually. I don't know enough.
Okay. I think that is the most likely one.
Because apparently the most compelling one is the mafia links.
Right, yeah.
But I don't know, 4, 3.
Okay. 9/11.
0.
Yeah, I think now. Marilyn Monroe.
What's what about her?
How likely do you think that she was murdered by Kennedy agglomeration?
Not qualified on that one.
Okay. RFK, who do you think killed RFK?
Same people that killed JFK, I imagine.
Yeah.
Came back for a second.
Did you watch the Darren Brown thing about the assassination of RFK?
No.
It was years ago. He did this thing about... The guy who assassinated RFK was called Sirhan Sirhan. He was an immigrant from somewhere, living in America. Anyway, so he was... Do you know the story of how RFK was killed?
I don't.
All right, let me just start from the start for the viewers at home. RFK is running for Democratic nominee of, to be the president. And he is winning by all accounts. He's going to be the Democratic nominee. So he is doing a speech in some town hall in... I can't remember where it was, actually. Anyway, so he finishes the speech. He's like, right, let's go on to da-da-da, and we'll win the next one. And everyone's like, woo, yeah. And then he goes in the kitchen. Sirhan comes up, fires some shots at him, gets tackled to the ground. So, you know, he's taken into custody immediately, and everyone's like, right, who's this guy? You know, case closed.
Mm.
Don't have to look for anyone. But Sirhan, to this day, expresses no memory of the incident. He believed, under hypnosis, he said that he was hypnotized by this woman. He thinks he was trained to react to this woman's polka dot dress.
Yeah.
That when he saw the polka dot dress, that was his cue to kill the president.
Fascinating.
So some people reckon that the CIA trained him to be what's known as a Manchurian candidate, where they train someone to switch off their brain and become an assassin.
Like Darren Brown did in The Push or something, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, he did that one with a bank robbery, didn't he? When he got someone,
he
played that tune, and then that three out of four or something.
Yeah,
robbed
it's like that. Yeah, when they play the tune, and then they're triggered into doing that. That's what they reckon that. So anyway, so Darren Brown did this thing where he tried to train someone to assassinate Stephen Fry, and he did it. Yeah.
Oh man.
So you just wonder. I mean, the CIA was doing all kinds of stuff like that. I don't know how likely that is, but Darren Brown made a compelling argument that it could have happened.
Well, if you're going to do it, it's a very efficient way of doing it, because no one's going to believe them if it works. So you don't lose much. You know, you spend a few hours hypnotizing someone, and they either succeed or don't.
Yeah.
So if you're in the assassination business, I'd look into it.
Yeah. Could have happened. What other conspiracies are there? Let me think.
The flat Earth thing is you read that sometimes online. But they had a guy on Philip Schofield had to challenge him on This Morning Britain or whatever it was.
Yeah, I watched that.
And he's just sat there with his stupid face, just saying, "I think the Earth is flat."
I don't know whether the Earth is. See, I don't think the Earth is flat, but I don't know to what extent we understand the Earth and all its intricacies.
Oh, I don't.
And especially the atmosphere. And what's going on there? Like, I don't deny climate change. The climate is changing and it's getting warmer and stuff. But I am hesitant to draw any conclusions that we know what's going to happen in like 100 years.
Yeah. Well,
things change.
All they've got is models, I guess. But
yeah,
there's such a big consensus. It just, I don't know.
There is. But I was listening to Stephen Crowder.
Louder with Crowder.
Yeah, he does. I was listening to quite a compelling argument that he was making about why that consensus is.
Oh, God,
nonsense.
Is he? Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, he doesn't believe in climate.
Oh, God.
Does he believe? I think everyone acknowledges that the climate is changing and that it's getting warmer, but that man has had little effect.
They dispute the extent to it. Yeah, but don't the CO2 level graphs and the change in temperature are so closely linked.
Yeah.
I always think it's like
I believe he would say that's correlation
rather than
causation.
Yeah. I don't know. It's I think it's one of those things where you would have to be a qualified meteorologist or geologist or whatever.
And we should make it aware to the listeners at home that we are not.
we're neither of those things.
Not at all.
Yeah, I am qualified in so few things.
I'm not qualified to talk about anything.
I don't know anything, really.
I feel like I know a bit about murders, but that's about,
actually, yeah, no, you know more than most about that.
But, I mean, I am not qualified to talk about any other topic, really.
No, I could talk to you about aviation finance, the best Indian restaurants in Tooting. I challenge anyone on that.
Uh-huh. And what is the best?
Well, it's the Watt.
Is the best that I've found. Yeah. I've had some cracking... what's the place that does those wings?
Sam's Chicken.
No, the Indian wings.
Oh, Merch Masala. Yeah.
Is it Merch? Yeah. Those wings are crazy.
They're very good.
But Dawat is just so consistent. Every dish I get from there is a 9 out of 10.
I'll give any of your listeners £1,000 if they can prove to me there's a better one in a half-mile radius of Dawat.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, I'll give you £1,000 sterling in an envelope. No questions asked.
Dawat do that amazing breakfast thing as well, though. What is it called?
Hawal Puri.
Man, that is amazing stuff. Yeah. I've never heard of it until I had it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
What are we talking about? Climate change?
Oh, yeah. So climate change. Steven Crowder. I have a hero called Graham Hancock. You know who?
Oh, he's a politician.
No. He's like a...
Matt.
He's like a builder. What the fuck is he? I think he calls himself a master builder. Right. Like he's a geologist and geometrist kind of guy. So he studies like these ancient civilizations and ruins and stuff like that. But also he's like an astronomy guy who like studies the stars and stuff and their correlations to these ancient civilizations and how the civilizations were built in these patterns that correlate to the stars in the sky and stuff like that. It's kind of a weird theory that I just explained in a nutshell.
That was a good explanation.
He reckons that the climate is always oscillating to such an extent that it's kind of pointless worrying about it. Because we are at the whims of so much other stuff. He thinks it's silly to think that we can do anything about it at this stage.
Yeah.
And I don't really think we can do anything about it.
Well, exactly. You could hold that opinion even if you subscribe to the man-made, consensus. And, a lot of people just think, what can I do, really?
I feel like some angry scientist out there is going to get in touch and want to correct me about all of this stuff.
So before this started, I thought to myself, this is a permanent record.
Yeah.
It's online forever.
I know. And now I'm a climate denier forever.
Yeah.
That's what they'll call me.
And we're now plugged into that mad online vortex. Everyone's kicking off with each other.
Yeah.
And it's there. This can be taken out of context. Talking about the Jews earlier. I mean, that's just... There's going to be any number of standalone phrases.
We didn't say anything bad about the Jews, did we?
Well, but I think if you took an audio clip and removed it from the sort of ironic...
Maybe.
Context.
I guess we're talking flippantly about... About an endangered species.
So, but then I thought to myself, I am not a global figure. It's, no one...
Are you a globalist?
That's a pejorative term, isn't it? I don't know. I don't even know what it means now. It's just...
I truly don't know what it means.
it's like all these labels.
So the two things are globalists and nationalists, right?
Those are the two
conflicting. Nationalists think that you should put your own country first, and globalists think that we should be thinking about the planet's safety and well-being.
Yeah. And obviously there are some problems that, require a sort of multilateral solution. But then also people like being in their own little sort of blocks as well, so I don't know what that makes me. A centrist dad, or I don't know what they're called.
Centrist dad,
yeah, so that's a new thing on Twitter. They're like centrist is now like an abusive thing as well. So if you're a centrist, it means you don't really stand for anything.
I guess, because it's such a polarized world we live in now.
Yeah.
I don't call myself I probably am a centrist, but I don't call myself because it sounds stupid.
I'm nothing that ends in ist.
Yeah.
Because
I'm not, it sounds like I'm on the fence about everything, and I'm not at all.
Yeah.
So I feel like if I call myself a conservative, and that means I'm conservative when it comes to like economy and... whatever, like that doesn't. Why, if I was conservative about the economy, would that reflect my beliefs about gay marriage or
whatever
social issues.
Why are the two inherently linked?
And why would social issues even be linked? Mm-hmm. Why would abortion be linked to gay marriage?
Precisely. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You're a fan of abortion?
How do you mean, like recreationally or?
Yeah.
Am I a fan of it? I don't know. Again, this sounds like offense.
Are you in favour of?
I think that
babies being.
I think they're let the doctors decide. I think really.
Let the doctors decide.
Yeah, let them decide. The scientists at which point it's alive, because there's got to be a point where you can't kill it because it's a person. But
that's the trouble is that there isn't a point.
Yeah,
where something's alive.
Because what is that point? Like, is it just the youngest? Because recently there was one born. I think it was like 24 weeks or something. It was like
my mate,
less than that.
My mate had a baby who was born at 22 weeks.
22, right. Yeah, apparently it was the size of an onion when it came out, but after a while it was fine and healthy. Yeah.
His baby was tiny.
Yeah.
But he's okay now.
So anything, any like baby after that, you know, is that the point we'd do it? Or I don't know.
That's why I think it's easy to draw the line at. It's not necessarily where I draw the line, but I think it's easy to draw the line at conception.
Yeah, it is
which
easy.
Which is why so many people draw the line there.
Yeah, yeah, I just... At conception.
Because I think if you're going to draw it anywhere that makes absolute sense, it's there. Because otherwise you're just...
So how soon is conception? Is that like, you know, as you're getting dressed and... leaving.
As soon as the
that sounds so horrible.
As soon as the sperm meets the egg.
But does that how after the act does that happen? I don't even know. I wasn't paying attention in class.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, so
it slowly.
How after the act of lovemaking does that?
9 months. A baby comes out in 9 months.
When does conception happen? Because does it happen? You know. While you're still hanging around, or is it like days later, or is it, you know, when?
I think they mean immediately as it
in.
As it's in, as it swims up there.
Oh wow! Okay.
I don't truly understand sperm, really.
I don't know.
And it's like swimming patterns and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
And it's always just in there.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, swimming about, ready.
But you know, God bless them. I mean, if some people want to. It's because I was just watching that Alex Jones, Joe Rogan, where they're talking about abortions.
Oh, God.
Aborting babes. Abortions do make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, me too.
The idea of them and stuff.
Mm.
But I don't... I went on a date with this lady a couple months ago, and I said, like, what would I have to express an opinion about? That you would be like, I'm never speaking to this guy again.
Right.
And she said, abortion.
Oh, God.
So now I pretend that I'm pro-choice for the sake of making friends.
Well, we've all...
But I'm not really pro-life either. I'm just kind of like to stay out of it because it's too complicated.
I knew a guy at uni who really fancied this girl. He was religious. And he went to church with her for weeks in order to try and basically persuade her to...
I've done that too.
And I just thought, you know... Is it worth it?
I created a whole slideshow presentation. Did I tell you this?
No.
I wanted to get with this lady in America called Miranda.
Mm.
And she's like a Christian lady and stuff, doesn't drink. And she like prays and stuff. So I was like, okay, if I'm going to get this lady to fancy me, I'm going to have to just completely revamp my image and my personality and how I act. And
stuff. Just this minor stuff.
So I did over the course of... several weeks. I like went to church loads.
Wow.
Changed my outfit. That's when I incorporated all the jumpers.
You do have a lot of jumpers.
Yeah, the jumpers. I started because I needed to be like a church going guy in America. She was really into fitness, so I started getting fit.
Oh, you love the fitness.
Stopped swearing. Started praying about football games. And I'd make sure that she was like... to like, she didn't know that I could see her, but I could see her watching me pray and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Oh, that's disappointing. And you didn't find...
Nearly worked.
You didn't find God either, so it was kind of a complete waste of time.
I did, to be honest, Man United went on an amazing run. They really did. It was an amazing run of results where we just could not lose, and we were like 10 points clear at the top of the table, and I started to think to myself, well... You know, who's to say that this isn't actually working?
And so how did they end the season well? Or was it just a temporary...
We won the league.
You won the... Okay.
We lost the Champions League in, like, humiliating fashion. But you know, it was a great season.
Mm.
It was a miracle season because people didn't give as much of a chance. But I didn't get the girl, which is what the whole thing was designed for.
I found dating in America to be just ruinously expensive because you have to buy drinks and sometimes dinner.
And jumpers.
And jumpers. Yeah. It was terrible.
We both lived in New York, right?
It wasn't quite the same time, was it? It was.
No, it was. I just missed you. I think you came just after me, did you?
Yeah, you were there before me.
I was in 2012.
2012 to 14.
12 to 13, yeah.
I was 16 to 17.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So you had Trump, did you?
I was there when he got elected.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I was there when Obama beat Romney.
Whoa. Yeah.
Did it feel different? Did you go to any campuses and stuff and see the riots?
I saw lots of protests. I lived in Harlem as well, so that was when the Black Lives Matter stuff was kicking off.
Mm.
And so I saw marches, and on the day, well, the week after he got elected, New York's blue. Or I don't know about the rest of the state, actually, but the Manhattan and New York City is pretty left. So, it was like this. It's like what people say about Brexit, you know. It's kind of like a sort of majority opinion that's been sort of squashed nationally.
Yeah.
And
by middle America.
It's very tense. Yeah, it's a very tense time.
And do you think Black Lives Matter?
Do I think I think they matter, yeah. Yeah.
To what extent? We'll do 0 to 10 again.
Wait, well, sorry, which one's 10?
10 is, I don't want to really offend. Matter.
Yeah, I would say they completely matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
So. But obviously, you know, in this day and age, I want to clarify all the others matter too. But
so if you're out there thinking they don't matter, then you're wrong.
Yeah, no, I'll get behind
humans
that.
Humans are human at the end of the day. Mm. That's what I think.
Yeah, we can be humanists. That's a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll get behind
I'm
that.
I'm certainly not very tribal. Because when this whole race stuff is kicking off, like particularly with black, I feel like Black Lives Matter kind of centered the thing about like black versus white. Like, I don't want to be on team white. Like, I have no interest in being on, like, I don't think of myself as like a white guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I rarely think about it. But you do when you travel, though. That's kind of what I meant earlier, I guess, in a sense.
I did in New York, used to with a load of black guys, and I was the only white guy in the room, and I used to always remember being very conscious of being white.
Yeah,
but I don't know if that was just,
I remember when I got off the plane in Japan, got the subway into my hostel, I was the only white guy on a carriage full of Japanese people. And that was quite, that felt quite odd.
Fun.
Yeah, well, I loved it. That's good.
Yeah, it's good.
What was I gonna say? Oh yeah. Louis CK's got a really good bit about like, if you could pick which race to be, he says, you know, he would pick white because it's great. You can go to sort of any time in history and everyone will be like, oh, here's your meal, sir, you know. But he said, like, you know, you can't say that for other races. But he has the sense that, you know, we're gonna pay for it at some point. Like,
well, it feels like we're starting to pay for it now, aren't we?
Yeah, well, yeah. I think it's good. People demanding more voices are heard. That's surely a good thing.
No, I think no voices should be heard.
By virtue of who they're coming from, do you mean?
No, just in general. Less voices is what we need. We need more. I've always been a big fan of dictatorships rather than democracies.
Anyone's in particular? Or?
I think Putin's doing a fine job.
Right.
Except the ruble is obviously worthless.
Mm.
But, you know, it's a very big country. It's hard to... I'll give him some...
Judo black belt, that guy, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And a nice hockey whiz.
Yeah, he's pretty...
He's got it all, that guy.
Yeah.
But I think having one voice rather than multiple. I think multiple voices messes up the process, messes up getting anything done.
Yeah.
Because to what extent, I can never tell when they're debating stuff in the Houses of Parliament, Commons, Houses of Commons.
In the Houses.
In the Houses. I can never tell what the right answer is. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I get the feeling like there is a right answer, but you just can't tell it because everyone's just trying to win.
Mm.
It's especially like that in America.
You see,
but Britain is pretty bad for it as well.
You see it in terms of like big infrastructure projects, like the third runway, for example, which, you know, is kind of clearly in the national interest. But there's sufficient voices in opposition to make it, you know, democratically difficult.
But do they really believe that side, or are they just saying it because they think they're supposed to?
There's like different reasons to object to it. Like there's... like Zach Goldsmith, just because his constituents don't want to be bothered by the noise in the building and stuff. And then you've got the environmentalists, who make a good point, you know.
Mm.
Aviation's really bad for the planet, got to fix it.
Mm.
But, you know, we want to stay ahead of Schiphol, so we kind of need it, I guess.
We need a runway.
Economically.
Yeah, we got to fly.
You know?
Got to get out of this.
Hmm.
With all our tension and stuff. But I feel like the one thing we don't have is, like, the racial tension of America, for example.
Yeah, we're way better.
We're doing that. Okay. Like, you know, I never feel... I don't feel any racial tension in Britain, really.
No.
But I mean, there is some, but it's concentrated.
Yeah. People would say, like, but yeah, that's because you're white. But...
You think black people in this country feel...
Yeah, I think... Yeah. I mean...
About what?
My friends tell me. Just, like... You know, I've heard from them, you get abused sometimes, or, you know, not frequently, but, like, it's something that we never see, but they see sometimes.
But I mean, I get shouted at, like, white boys sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'm just a very white-looking guy.
Who shouts it?
Someone the other day shouted at me that I was a choir boy.
Choir boy?
Yeah.
Well, you do have a voice like an angel.
I mean, I was dressed for work, so I looked kind of like a working...
Mm.
And this black, like, construction worker called me a
choir boy.
Which I assume had something to do with my race.
Yeah, well, it's not even that insulting, really, I guess.
But, I mean, I don't care.
I got something shouted at me the other day.
I just thought it was funny.
Oh, I had... it's when I had more hair than this. I had a short back and sides.
Right.
But it was very short back and sidesy, you know. Mm. It was like, you know, like American films? When in Home Alone, his brother, Buck, or whatever his name is, looked like that. Very American, short back and sides.
Right.
And someone said, I can't remember what it was, but it was a mocking reference to the fact that it kind of looks like you're in the army or something.
You were an army boy.
I can't remember the actual insult. It wasn't that, but
that's
it was
a good insult, right?
Short back and sides, eh? Or something like that. And I, what do you say to that? It's like,
I never get that kind of abuse.
When are we going to shave your head anyway? When are we?
In a couple of minutes, right?
Can we actually do it?
We could do it. I was going to wait for Hano, but I don't think Hano's going to be home, so.
Is it essential we do it tonight?
I kind of want to do it because I'm going to Chester to see the Hoopers on the weekend.
Okay.
So I'm leaving at like midday tomorrow.
Oh, right. So we should do it.
We should do it tonight, I feel.
We'll do it tonight. So when we did mine, we went into the garden, played some Johnny Cash, and just did it.
Maybe we could do it after football when we get home tonight. When are you coming home?
I'm doing
tonight?
my brother's comedy night. I'll get back.
We'll be back at like 11, 12 probably.
Perfect.
Yeah?
I think we should do it after a few beers, actually.
Yeah, and then Hollings and Hano will be there.
We'll do it together.
Okay.
It's a big step. You don't want to make that step alone. It's like dying. You want to be. Yeah. You want to do it with someone.
If we haven't made it clear, I'm shaving my head. The headband warrior is going to have hair no longer.
Perfect.
How do you think it's going to... Is it okay? Because you shaved your head.
I did.
A couple of months ago.
It's the best thing I ever did.
I think it's going to be a relief.
Yeah.
When it's finally
You
gone.
Don't realize how much of your time you spend thinking, dreading the day.
Yeah.
And actually, it's a bright future.
Yeah.
It's, I
feel like I'll feel refreshed. Because I think a lot of my hangovers I carry in my hair.
Right.
You know what I mean?
As in, because your hair looks worse the next day.
Maybe, but I feel like the hair and the sweat coming from my head and stuff.
Mm.
I feel like if I shaved it off, my hangovers would be a lot more manageable. I don't know if that's just wishful thinking.
For me, it feels like pure, you know, like a monk or a... Wow, that's just a bald man, I guess.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, it's simple.
Yeah.
It's like the feng shui thing, you know, it's just, it's functional.
Yeah, minimalist.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
And I've noticed no downside.
No downside.
No one shouted anything at me. I thought kids would shout like Baldy. That was like an image.
Yeah, I am imagining kids are going to shout Baldy at me.
But it hasn't happened yet.
Maybe I feel like they already do.
And it was half term recently. They were all out and about. They had loads of time on their hands. They could have said it.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
That's true. That's good. No, I'm not that worried. I think it'll look okay. And I can still wear headbands, I think. And a bald head.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for the...
Because I think headbands are ridiculous. The headbands I wear are ridiculous anyway.
Mm.
So it's not going to look any more ridiculous on a bald head than it would on a... My mum is terrified.
Of you going bald.
Yeah, my mum does not want it at all.
Mm.
You've been begging me.
Well, you're very tall as well, so maybe you'll look menacing. Who knows?
I think so. And with the beard as well. But, yeah, I definitely don't look menacing now. You're right. I'm not very approachable in general looking. You know what I mean? I have like a furrowed brow.
I have a furrowed brow, yeah.
Yeah. And you look quite approachable, I think.
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
I think if I needed, like, help with something in a shop...
Yeah.
And I saw that you were working there, I wouldn't hesitate to say that word.
What if I was working there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I think if I saw me working there, I wouldn't ask, because I would look at me and think, oh, this guy is going to snap at me or something. And I probably will.
If you were working in a shop and the item I wanted was on, I'd hesitate, because if the item was in a high place that you could reach and I couldn't, the social embarrassment of you...
Do you ask to reach stuff from that?
Well, no, I just change my shopping. You know, there's just lots of items that are unobtainable for me. But fortunately, they put the good stuff, because the ladies' shop, you know,
yeah.
I guess they put like the power tools and stuff at the top for the blokes, and they put the...
Only the tall blokes.
Yeah, though. Yeah, like ladders or...
I have reached, since moving to London, I've never done this before, but I have reached for two things for women from the top shelf.
What
made
were
me feel like such a man.
Did it spark like a romantic encounter?
It didn't. No. I feel like, judging by their baskets, they were buying for... like their five children.
Right, okay, yeah.
So there is that. But, you know, those women need to be loved as well.
I get asked for directions. Yeah. When I was younger, I used to get my phone out and help.
Yeah.
But nowadays, I know everyone's got a phone, so...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
They want something more.
But a lot of adults don't understand how to use the maps setting yet. My dad always does. He's like, can you get your phone out and look up? I'm like, everyone has maps now. You have a much better phone than me.
Yeah.
But he just uses it for phone calls.
Yeah, what a loser.
Remember when we used to use phones for phoning people?
Yeah.
Horrendous.
Where's that? Yeah, it's like phoning someone out of the blue now just seems kind of almost antiquated. I feel like everything has to be arranged via text first.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Yeah, we've lost our spontaneity.
Mm.
And no one writes letters, love letters to each other anymore. Maybe that's why none of us are in love. It's hard to find love.
I was thinking the other day, you know, where you read these like compilations, you know, like Keats's letters or something. Just the guy's letters are deemed worthy of being published.
And yeah.
When I die, someone gains access to my Facebook. They're going to publish my, you know, Joe's letters.
What time tonight, mate? Yeah, cool. See you there.
Do you have any good... Where are you writing down your... Where are you keeping your famous musings about philosophy and art and stuff? Because this is what I'm using the podcast for.
Yeah, to document a period.
Yeah, so that my grandchildren will be able to look back and think, okay, this is what he thought about stuff.
I think that's great. I think my descendants will have to just piece it together through all of my kind of nonsense. You know?
Yeah. But what nonsense? Where are they going to look?
Well,
on Facebook, you mean?
I guess so. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's all on there.
Yeah.
You know, it's all my WhatsApps.
But now you can point them towards this, right?
To this.
Yeah, this has been handy.
Historical document.
Yeah.
And
it'll help that we're going to listen to a band that is going to be famous in, like, you know, several decades.
Yeah.
So we're getting in on the ground floor.
Yeah.
We're getting started. What are they called again?
I forgot what they were called.
We're going to listen to a Korean, right, band.
I think it was Korean.
Because we've noticed that they're very popular amongst Asians in London.
Yeah.
So we're trying to infiltrate that community.
So it's called Hyuko.
Hyuko.
H-Y-U.
K-O-H.
K-O-H, yeah.
And I'm looking on YouTube. They have... Their first video has 19 million views.
Oh, I think we're behind the curve on this one.
Yeah, maybe. But they must be all from Asia. But all the other videos only have like 3 million, 2 million.
Oh, so they had one smash hit.
They have one smash hit. So I think it's only fair to listen to the smash hit, isn't it?
I think we have to.
Yeah. Okay, so it's called Comes and Goes. I'm judging by the thumbnail that it's kind of an emotional song.
Okay, what's the thumbnail?
It's just a guy singing into a mic.
Yeah.
Which is like a more heartfelt. Soulful. It's kind of what we're doing right now.
How is your Korean these days? I'm not going to understand a word.
Not great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Is it going to be in Korean?
I can count from 1 to 10 in Korean.
English subtitles are available.
Perfect.
Wow, this is going to be great. So this is Hyuko, Comes and Goes. Hope you enjoy, folks.
Yeah. 이젠 슬쩍 봐도 알아.
What did you think of it?
I thought that was delightful. I'm gonna
It was pretty delightful. Yeah. The lyrics didn't seem to make much sense.
No. Yeah, but
do you think they would make sense in Korean?
What was that? Big boys.
Big boys play big games all the time. That's what the. And that wasn't the translation, because he was actually saying that bit in the English. The chorus was
big
in English.
Play big.
And he said, "Big boys."
So he's talking about love, right? So,
I guess so.
Big boy.
He's saying that when you're older, you're more likely to gamble on love.
Big games, yeah.
I guess love is a game. It's a dance, isn't it?
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll reflect on it. We should reflect on those lyrics. And
I feel like Asians probably have an attitude towards love that we don't understand.
What do you think that is?
There's alien to it. Probably like just animalistic lust is what I get from the anime.
Oh.
That was a very anime noise you just made.
Unintentionally. Oh.
Yeah. No, from anime, they seem just mad for sex all the time.
Anime is one of those weird. It's like I've never watched, read, or listened to a single
Sam's
thing.
Sam's got me into some of. I mean, I'm not into them, but Sam has made me watch some of them.
He stresses that it's not porn, but you know,
I mean, it is.
It is quite sexual, isn't it?
It is sexual, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah, and it's like needlessly sexual. Like the sexuality just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah,
and just offers nothing to the plot or anything. It's just like someone says something sexual. It's like they use sex as like power, I think, or something like that.
I'd be too embarrassed to read that in a public place. Yeah. It'd just be too tricky.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what they say: big boys big. Play big games, and there isn't a bigger game than love.
Yeah, the only game, right?
Well, it's the only game worth a damn. I think, because we can, you know, kick a ball into a net. So what?
Exactly.
The real prize at the end of the day.
Who's going to be there for you at full time when the whistle blows, eh?
Yeah. I like that. That's a great way to end the podcast.
It's got wholesome. I love it.
Yeah. So, yeah, if the folks at home liked Huku or whatever it was called. What's it called?
I don't know how you would pronounce it.
Huko. Huko. Look that up. But otherwise, it's been lovely to talk
to you. It's been a true honour.
Yeah. And later tonight, we're going to shave my head.
I can't wait.
So look out for that on the old Hooper's Instagram. You know we have Hooper's Instagram?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I followed you.
Oh, great. Yeah, follow us, please. We never put anything up there anyway, but you know, it's just nice to have some validation.
Yeah, it's a few likes.
Yeah, just throw some hollow validation. Because I feel like sometimes people are so like, don't want to follow too many people. Don't want to give them the satisfaction of following. Just follow me.
There's no shame
God's
in a follow.
Sake. Yeah.
That's what my old man always told me.
Yeah. Hooper's podcast, I see a profile, I click follow. I think maybe they'll follow back and then one day I'll be rich.
How many followers you on?
No idea.
Ah.
On Twitter, we've got like 2,000.
I saw, yeah. You guys have some clout.
But I mean, I would imagine that most of them are Russian bots that are trolling our Black Lives Matter episodes. No, Black Lives do matter, of course.
Do you think this one's going to attract any...
Which one?
This episode.
Will attract controversy.
Yeah, do you think we've been controversial?
No, we always talk about Jews because it's a hot button issue in the world, I think, what we're going to do about the Jews. And some people have more radical solutions than others.
Yeah.
Some people have final solutions,
yeah,
no, even.
I've read about them.
But no, I'm several stages away from that.
But because we had a great point to end when we talked about love, and now we've just kind of stumbled into
we're back onto Jews.
Into the forest again.
But no, Jews deserve love as well. Even Hasidic ones, which have sex through a bedsheet, right?
Yeah, is that true? They throw a little hole in the...
I think so, yeah. Or, you know, the strict ones. If they're sticking to the rules, that's what you're supposed to do.
Okay. No, we need a better ending than that. We can't end that.
No.
What about Pearl of Wisdom, maybe?
Amy Winehouse said, love is a losing game. which ties into all of our love being a game and stuff.
Yeah.
I do think it's a dance. And like, you know, you put your... Because, you know, you don't exactly know what your dance partner's going to do, but you kind of just figure it out and eventually it'll come together and I don't know how to dance.
No, I can't dance, no. It's like a what, yeah.
But I can't love either, so...
Oh, that's a melancholy... No, but I thought... how about... Yeah, love is a losing game.
Love is love conquers all.
Yeah, that's warming.
And everyone deserves love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even... No.
That's some horrible caveat.
No, we love everyone. Everyone is love.
Yeah.
Love is love.
Love is free.
Yeah. Free love.
Free love on the
free love.
Free love freeway.
Freeway. Great. Good night, folks.
No one smiles to help me chase those big city blues.